As we continue with our sermon series, Disney in Lent, are we there yet? Coming in at number 4, this Disney film can be described in, well, one word. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Yes, it's Mary Poppins.
Ellen, you may now show them in, one at a time.
Yes, sir.
You may come in one at a time.
Thank you.
Oh. You are the father of Jane and Michael Banks, are you not? I said you are the father of Jane and Michael Banks.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, you brought your references, I presume. May I see them?
Oh, I make it a point never to give references. A very old-fashioned idea to my mind.
Is that so? We'll have to see about that then, won't we?
During Lent, we often hear and study themes of repentance, prayer, self-discipline, sacrifice, love, faithfulness, and almsgiving, to name a few. Connecting one or two of these with the film Mary Poppins was not too difficult, certainly much easier than trying to do so with number 8 on our list, National Treasure. In a way, it is because National Treasure was in my bracket that I'm delivering the message this morning. I volunteered to take on the film when it made the top 8 since it was one of my films, and when placing it in my bracket, I really hadn't thought through about how it connected with the season of Lent and its themes. When we decided to worship with Next Church and we knew we wouldn't be using all the Disney films, I was the first one to note that we no longer needed to do National Treasure. Catherine and Mark said, hey, not so fast. So I chose Mary Poppins. And as I was thinking about themes in the film, Catherine said, but Kathy, no history. Well, there went anything with Mrs. Banks and her participation in the suffragette movement. Yet there are certainly enough themes, just which one to decide upon. Something about family or self-discipline, especially with those little imps, Jane and Michael. Or is there something about Mary Poppins, especially in the way she arrives from the sky or heaven, dispenses some great advice, completes her work uniting the Banks family, and then she ascends from whence she came. Minister and author Nadia Bolz Weber connects this nicely in an Ascension Day tweet. And then Jesus got all Mary Poppins and just sort of floated away. But we are not quite there yet as we continue on our journey through Lent. It is perhaps what might just be the heart of the film that provides us with the perfect connection, just as Mary Poppins is practically perfect in every way. The story of the bird woman who sits each day on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral, selling bags of breadcrumbs to feed the birds for a tuppence.
Well, most things he can. Sometimes a person we love, through no fault of his own, can't see past the end of his nose.
Past the end of his nose?
Yes, sometimes a little thing can be quite important.
Oh, look, the cathedral.
Father passes that every day. He sees that.
Early each day to the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird woman comes. In her own special way to the people she calls, come buy my bags full of crumbs, come feed the little bird, show them you care, and you'll be glad if you do. Their young ones are hungry, their nests are so bare, all it takes is tuppence from you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Feed the birds. That's what she cries, while overhead her birds fill the skies. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she sails her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares. Though her words are simple and few, listen, listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag.
A tuppence, a few cents, two coins, an old woman at a church. Two coins, a temple, the widow's offering. Turning to this morning's second reading, Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. Let's listen to God's word. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Almsgiving. We often associate almsgiving in the sense of giving money, especially to the poor. While it certainly includes the act of giving money, it could and it should include the giving of our time, ourselves in acts of service, sharing God's love with others. What if we thought of almsgiving as time spent with other people, especially those who are disadvantaged and not just monetarily? Poverty comes in many forms, materially, emotionally, and spiritually. There are people who are hungry and thirsty, in need of shelter, both in a physical sense and otherwise. Some are lonely and hunger for friendship. Others carry heavy burdens of abuse and trauma, searching for freedom from oppressive memories. And some are marginalized because of disability, mental illness, race, identity, socioeconomic status, and they desire acceptance and inclusion. In what ways can we be present and see these needs, meet these needs? We must do so by seeing the humanity of each person, each beloved child of God, treating them equally and justly. Mary Poppins, as she introduces the children to the story of the bird woman, tells them, "But sometimes a person we love, through no fault of his own, can't see past the end of his nose."
Michael, look! It's her! Listen, Father, she's saying it.
Feed the birds, tuppence a bag.
Please, may we feed the birds?
Whatever for?
I have tuppence from my money box.
Just this once, please.
Waste your money on a lot of ragamuffin birds? Certainly not.
But Mary Poppins...
I am not interested in what Mary Poppins says.
But it's my tuppence.
Michael, I will not permit you to throw your money away. When we get to the bank, I shall show you what may be done with your tuppence, and I think you'll find it extremely interesting.
Mr. Banks really doesn't see the bird woman, truly see her, as his children do, wanting to help her feed the birds. He can't see past the end of his nose. Later, as he's walking back to the bank, knowing he is about to be fired from his position, after the excitement with his children deciding they wanted to give their tuppence to the bird woman rather than deposit it in the bank and causing a run on the bank, we witness the following. What was Mr. Banks thinking as he walked over to the steps where the bird woman would normally be seated? Was he thinking of her, seeing her, thinking about his dismissal of her due to business or judging her inadequacies? Wondering, perhaps, if he had missed the opportunity to help her feed the birds when the birds so badly needed to be fed by someone? I know there have been times where I've failed to see past the end of my nose and missed opportunities to feed the birds. Maybe you have as well. In the Thoughtful Christian class, we have been exploring issues relating to race in the church. In the work, Trouble I've Seen, by Messiah University professor Dr. Drew Hart, we read and discussed what I think is a good example of Jesus' criticism of the scribes. Dr. Hart recounts a morning he left his residence in Allison Hill and encountered a large mass of white people gathered along the sidewalk. He writes, "This was a bit odd. You don't normally see a lot of white people in this part of town. So, of course, my curiosity was piqued. The first thing I observed as I approached was that they were all wearing bright, loud, matching yellow t-shirts. They clearly didn't want to be missed." My thoughts, as I read this description, was not why they were wearing matching t-shirts, but really a bright yellow? And why the need to call attention to whatever the group was doing? Dr. Hart continues to describe what he was witnessing as this large contingent was randomly handing out bags of groceries to whomever was walking by. He writes, "It was like an old episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show in which everyone was a winner. You get some groceries, you get some groceries." At first, I just thought to myself, silly church folk, and shook my head until I was close enough to read the words on their t-shirts. Printed front and center on those bright t-shirts were Harrisburg Invasion Day. My reaction as I read these words, wow, really? Invasion is the word you want to use? Apparently, this was a yearly event conducted by predominantly white church congregations from outside of Allison Hill. Yes, they wanted to help the community, but first, did they need to do it so boldly and loudly? Not to mention condescending with a feeling of saving rather than helping and working with the community. And again, it made me wonder, as I have participated in mission work in a variety of ways, if there may have been times that I may have failed to see past the end of my nose. As we heard in our gospel reading, Jesus first criticizes the scribes for performing their duties for the sake of appearance, basically to look good. When Jesus sits down opposite the treasury and observes the people coming to give, he compares the huge contributions of the rich people with the offering of the poor widow. He praises her offering as it comes from a sincere desire to please God and help others. While the two parts of this reading might not seem to relate to each other, together they teach us what we do with what God has entrusted to us, our abundance, whether material, time, or ourselves. It is the motivations for our actions which are important. What we do, how we do it, says a lot about who we are and whose we are. We are called to give from our hearts. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she sells her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling. There are so many people around us who are cold, hungry, and lonely, experiencing material, emotional, and spiritual poverty. The questions we must ask ourselves, not only during Lent, but year-round: where do I invest my tuppence? How do I encounter, truly see God's beloved children? How do I show others I care? Listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds. Tuppence a bag. Well, yes, we respond by donating money, food, clothes, and other necessities. Let's also be attentive to the people we encounter. It can be as simple as what the bird woman sings. Show them you care by asking them, how can I help? Would you like to eat a meal with me? I will pray for you. Thank you. And sometimes you don't need to say anything at all. Just be there. Sitting in silence, dropping off a meal, leaving flowers, or making something from your heart like James Otis did for Sarah in our story this morning. How will we use our tuppence? Remember, it can be the simplest act of love that changes the world for someone. Amen.
Goodbye, Mary Poppins. Don't stay away too long.